This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today, just before the holiday weekend. And this is my last day of the week. I'm going to be working on the super secret project tomorrow. I am going to turn on the air conditioning because it's a little warm. And I plan to spend the day doing that. I ordered the printer yesterday. So there are these wonderful printers that can actually print things in 3D. And I looked at it and decided, you know, there's no way I'm going to get this project done if I don't have a printer. Because I need to turn this into an iterative process. I need to be able to make copy after copy after copy after copy, play with it a little bit, make another copy, play with it a little bit, make another copy. And so I needed a printer if I was going to move forward with the project. Some of these things, when you're in a project, sometimes you end up making bad decisions and spending money, but at the very least, you can sit down and say, okay, what is crucial? And if it's crucial and ends up to be the wrong decision, and maybe there was another decision that I couldn't see, well, okay, that's fine. We just treat that as sunk cost. But I think as long as you spend some time analyzing, getting quiet, listening, seeing if there's any checks in your spirit about it, you know, sometimes you still end up doing things where you're throwing stuff away, but at least you know you tried to make a good decision. So I feel like I've taken things in sequence. I went and got a free copy of Autodesk Inventor. Got a free copy of that, worked with it for 30 days, came to the point where I said, yes, I think I can handle the design of the product. Went ahead and ordered a printout to where I could see it and say, yes, the printouts work. Went ahead and ordered the software, so now I have the software, I've been working with that, and now I'm to that next piece where I could go ahead and keep ordering printouts, but those printouts will cost me $600 a piece, and I can rent one of these printers for 3 months for about $3,400, so since I will most likely be making more than 6 printouts in the next 3 months, it makes sense to go ahead and rent the printer. So I rented the printer. So we'll see how that all goes. In other news, on Knit Central, we are taking a small hiatus as of July 1st, which is today. I put up a little sign that said we're taking a brief hiatus from doing any more knit clips. That's because my video editor is on maternity leave. Because my video editor happens to be my daughter. So since she is on maternity leave and she's not quite ready to get, you know, things back going again. Well, she was saying, well, we'll see. I'll try. And I just said, no. They're taking a trip here in just a few weeks as well, and so it just seemed to me that the best thing to do was just to shut it down for a month. We've got 91 episodes out there, I think. There's plenty of things for people to get acquainted with us about, and I'm going to rearrange the site a little bit anyways to make it easier to find some stuff, so I'll do that through July. Then come August, we'll see if Lizzie's ready to kind of get back in the saddle and do some more, then we'll do some more and it will be fun. Been a good week at work. I had been working on this brand new project, and I talked last week about coming up with a strategy. In fact, it was this week that the real lead on the project was back in town, and so I had a chance to have a meeting with her and talked to her about the things I had done, and then we did a joint meeting with one of the super users to go through and make sure I was on track with what the lead was wanting me to gather, and that just seemed to go really well. And everyone seemed to be happy with the progress I had made and the things I had done and the approach that I had taken. And so I've spent the rest of the week solidifying that, doing some review of the existing documentation, and coming up with a strategy to handle all the dust in the corners and those types of things. It's interesting with projects. You always have to account for change management. If you don't account for change management, and you don't keep in your mind that everything changes and constantly moves, and you don't have a strategy for that, that will just bury you. So I obviously was aware of the fact that things could change in the documentation, and so I was coming up with a way to manage that change and make it be more fluid to where it wouldn't chew up a lot of my time, because I only have 12 weeks to get this project done, and the project is huge. So anyways, but all that to say, it's been a good week. It is episode 66. I almost put down 67 yesterday, and then I thought, you should look at the website. It is episode 66. And this week, I had come across an article that I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting article. And then in a subsequent conversation with my wife about that article and about some of her experiences, that I thought, oh yeah, I gotta talk about this on the podcast. The article was on the website fastcompany.com, and the article was entitled "Social Networking Affects the Brain Like Falling in Love," or "Affects Brains Like Falling in Love." Now that's a pretty dramatic title, so I thought, oh, this is interesting. And basically, the author, who has written a book, and he's also a journalist, and so he is somewhat known, and that becomes important later, was investigating and talking to a doctor. I don't know if he's a psychiatrist or an actual medical doctor, who has been investigating oxytocin, not oxycontin, oxytocin, for many years, which is also known as the cuddle drug or the cuddle hormone or the love drug. And it's been known for some time that oxytocin is very beneficial for helping us form bonds, for helping us believe that we can trust people. And oxytocin is somewhat responsible for that. And it's interesting because this particular doctor who has been studying it, he has taken the habit of whomever he meets, he hugs. Because there's been medical experiments that have shown that when you hug somebody, you increase the level of oxytocin in them and in you. And so if you're looking to form a bond with somebody, if you hug them a lot, that does actually form a bond. And there's been lots of studies done because, of course, companies are interested in raising the level of oxytocin in people with regards to their company, because you'll be more trusting of them. Certainly, there have been studies that have been done between married couples. They've actually done studies where they've taken blood from couples before they were married and then directly after the marriage ceremony, and they've seen increases in oxytocin in the couples. Certainly the bride has the greatest increase, but the increase in the groom is just as non-trivial and is around 13% or so, which is an important increase. And so oxytocin seems to be built into our fabric of our existence as a mechanism that helps us feel more connected to people, helps us feel more trusting of people. And if it didn't exist, it would be harder for us to form social bonds. Well, this particular medical doctor is doing a lot of studies, and as part of that, the journalist had come by to look at some studies, and as part of that, they decide to do a sort of ad hoc experiment just to see. And so what they did was, and again, this is very non-scientific, this is only one person, and certainly I will have a follow-on explanation for why some of this, in my opinion, might be true. But what they did is they took the journalist and and they took him to their setting where they do experiments and things, and they had him lay down on a bed, you know, sitting up in bed, and they took his blood, and then they had him open his laptop and get on Twitter and respond to tweets for 10 minutes or so. And he said that he just got on and started responding. He put out a call to his followers on Twitter and said he's doing this experiment and he needs, you know, to talk to some people. And people started tweeting him. I forget what the term is because I'm not on Twitter. Anyways, people started responding to him and he responded back and just very kind of nonchalantly with people he did not know for 10 minutes. After the 10 minutes, they came in and said, okay, that's it. So he shut it down. They took his blood again. And he didn't really think much of it. He thought, well, you know, it's only 10 minutes. What can that change? But in fact, when the test results came back in this very non-scientific study, the oxytocin level in his body had increased 13-point-something%. About the same as a man getting married. Which was a bit surprising to everyone. Now, as a caveat, I would add that it wasn't just a matter of this guy tweeting people he absolutely didn't know or meeting people he absolutely didn't know. He was interacting with people who follow him. And I think that does set up the relationship in a little bit different way. I mean, the old joke is, well, I know you have good taste because you like me. You know, it's that kind of thing. And I will tell you quite frankly that when I am meeting with my friends and one of them says something like, you know, it's just really great to get together with you because after every time we get together, I feel closer to God and I feel like you have just such a positive outlook on life and it's contagious and I really feel like I grow stronger from being able to get together and talk with you. Okay, well, I would imagine that my oxytocin levels are going up when I get that sort of response. I would also imagine that my oxytocin levels are going up just from meeting with people. It's interesting, this particular summer, I've been kind of in a little bit of a drought here. My one buddy that I was getting together with on Thursday night, he's got some recording and thing to do. He's a musician. He's got some recordings and things to do and some summer activities to take care of, like biking and all those kind of things. And so he said, you know, it probably would be best if we just called a hiatus for the summer. I said, man, that's fine. No problem. And he said, then when, you know, fall comes, we'll see. And I said, that's fine. But I miss getting together with him because all those years we spent getting together, I mean, there's definitely a bond that we have formed together. And I've got another buddy who's actually on vacation this month, and I miss getting together with him. He's supposedly going to be back in July, and so I'm going to give him a call next week and see how he's doing and seeing if he'd like to get a bite to eat. And another buddy of mine just had some surgery, and so I didn't get together with him this week. And another buddy of mine, his wife is getting close to delivering, and there have been days when he said, you know, I really need to get back to be with my wife because she's had a hard day. And I've said, that's fine, no problem at all. But there definitely is a gap in my life when I don't get together with my friends, because not only have we formed good friendships, not only do our encounters together help us both grow, I'm sure that it has increased the level of oxytocin in our brains. What's interesting in this study is that apparently there is some increase even between strangers, and the medical doctor was purporting and supposing that the brain doesn't make that much of a difference between e-connections and real connections. And by real connections, I mean sitting with a person and talking to them. That you probably can get some bump from oxytocin just from tweeting here and there and sending a few emails and being on the social media sites. And this actually, as I was discussing this with my wife was talking about the social media gaming stuff. And it really does explain a little bit about how some people can become so addicted to social gaming. Because as you're doing that, you do feel connected to people. You're working with them on projects. They're working with you on projects. But there's an interesting twist on all of this that made me decide, oh yeah, I've got to talk about this. And that has to do, my wife tells me, with a company called Zynga. And this company called Zynga actually makes some of the biggest games on Facebook. They make, I think, Mafia Wars, they make Farmville, they make Yoville, and they come out with new ones occasionally. And I mean, these games are huge. People spend hours and hours and hours on these games. Now, what's really amusing to me about this is my wife tells me that Zynga has some of the worst customer support, if not the worst customer support she has ever seen. And all the games are labeled as beta, and they're buggy. You just randomly lose things. Years ago, I was going to create a line of products just for fun called Abuseware that would do this, and apparently Zynga has already created them. They just don't call them Abuseware. And then my wife said, for instance, she said they've just come out with this new thing, I think on Yeovil, called a lake house, and you can buy a lake house. She said it equates to about $10. She said, except people on the forums are screaming about the fact that they're buying these lake houses, and some of them, the door will just disappear. And the windows might disappear, and you can't get them back. And she said Zynga has actually come out and said, oh yeah, that's a problem. We're not going to fix that. In fact, the customer service is so bad that my wife says that you basically cannot even report a bug to them. She said you can try to report a bug to them. And she's done it sometimes, but what happens is you go to the site to report a bug, you report the bug, and you get an immediate response that says, thank you for your opening ticket, thank you for the issue, thank you for the bug report, we'll be working on this and we'll get back with you shortly. And she said, so you wait 3 or 4 days, and then you get an email from there that says, since we have not heard any more from you on this issue, we will assume that it's closed. I'm getting my mail. So then they close the issue. Or they say, if this is not true, please, please come back and fill out a form, blah, 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 blah. So you go back, you fill out the form again, you say, no, this is still a problem. And so then you get an email that says, thank you for your response. We will be looking into the problem, and we will get back with you shortly. And then 3 or 4 days go by, and you get an email that says, since we've not heard from you, we are closing this issue. And my wife said she's tried going through multiple iterations of this, and this is all that happens. She said you never get a real response personalized back from them. It's all just, thank you for your response. We're looking into it. Since you've not responded to us, we're going to close the issue. I'm backing into my garage. She also said that there was another way to try to report bugs, but she went there to try to report a bug, and all she got was a blank page. So she said there's just nothing you can do. And these programs are buggy. They're always in beta. People are constantly screaming about them. on the websites, and yet people keep playing them. Because I guess once they kind of get addicted to playing these games, you know, they kind of get an oxytocin bug out of it, and then they just keep going. I mean, it's really interesting. I was thinking, you know, this is almost, it's almost like Stockholm Syndrome with hostages. I think it's called Stockholm Syndrome. Maybe it's not called Stockholm Syndrome. I can't. I should have looked it up. Where people that are taken hostage sort of get the idea like, well, it's got to be my fault. I'm the one. I deserve this. I don't know what's going on with these people. I did tell my wife, I wonder if part of this is there is such camaraderie that develops through hating these games that that increases oxytocin as well. Anyways, the upshot of all this is that there are chemical processes in the brain that respond to certain stimuli. And just because that's happening in your brain doesn't mean that it's a good thing or that it's something you should pursue. For instance, you know, if you participate in pornography, that is going to cause chemical changes in your brain. If you sleep around with people, that is going to cause chemical changes in your brain. A buddy of mine years ago had a couple of sessions with his ex-wife who he really didn't want to get back together with, but just those couple of sessions were enough that it just threw him out of balance. All of a sudden, he just couldn't get her out of his head, and because he had changed the chemical states of his brain. So where does this leave all of us? Just because something feels good, it might not be a good idea. And in my mind, at least, things that reduce the demands of true relationship aren't necessarily good things. When email first came out, I didn't like it at all. I mean, it's sort of, for some things now, it's one of those things that you just have to put up with and deal with. I mean, it's one of those necessary evils. But I hated email when it first came out, because I couldn't hear the tone in people's voices. I couldn't look at them and read their body language. I felt so isolated when I was trying to communicate with people when I first started working with email. And there is some isolation. Every time something becomes more convenient and technology makes more inroads into our lives, we lose some of that human connection. And I think that's sad. Being on Facebook and posting little snippets about what you're doing and having friends occasionally respond to them is not the same as sitting down with friends and talking face to face. I understand that sitting down and with friends and talking face to face requires more effort. It requires more responsibility. And the exit strategy isn't nearly as easy. But that doesn't mean that just because social gaming bumps your oxytocin level and gives you the feeling of belonging to something, that over time, social networking is just as good as real friends. Because it's not. And sometimes it leads you into what I consider to be hilarious situations where people apparently hate these games and yet they keep playing them and they keep giving them money, even though they're buying lake houses that they turn around and suddenly discover the front door has disappeared from. I love that. This is Phil Farron, and I have made it home.